some very special friends that have decided to spend the summer down here with us, Tim and Elise Richards. Would you welcome them warmly? Come on up. So you would have seen their faces in many places, right? There's some cards that you'll see their faces, big screen. Occasionally we'll have their big faces smiling at us. On a website you'll find us as well, because these guys are normally in remote Northern Territory. And for now, we have got the joy of hearing their story today and hearing what God's put on your heart. And so we just want to bless you and say thank you so much for bringing what you're going to bring today. Welcome home.
Thank you. Thanks. Thanks so much, Di. It's such a privilege to be here. And we just want to thank Di and the pastors and the elders at YVV and for this amazing group of people that it makes us feel like we are coming home. And this is an amazing theme that has been talked about this morning and also what we're going to talk about. So we just want to praise God for his goodness and his glory. And we want to give him as much of that glory as we can. So my name's Elise. This is Tim. We have two daughters, Isla and Esther. Esther is the baby who's 5 weeks old today. We have been a part of the YVV family for 16 years. The last 6 years, we've been in Arnhem Land. We are so encouraged when we get the opportunity to be here. As I said, it feels like family. And the thing that always I find so confronting as soon as I walk into this space with this family here is that this is a place of worshippers. I'm just so confronted by the people that are here and their heart for worship. I was praying this morning and I felt like the Lord was saying that this place is a place of servants of the King who just can't wait to be called into the throne room. We're just people who are hanging out ready to go and say, Lord, what can I do for you? We're also, YVV is also a people who go out and invite others to the banquet. There's a verse in Luke 14:12 that explains that, and just this idea that YVV is not just focused on here. You're such an amazing people, and you're willing to go out wherever you can to bring people in. And then I saw a picture of the people of YVV with flames of fire in their hearts, and it carrying the very presence of God, like the burning bush, the flames that appeared, like the day of Pentecost, the flames that appeared. And I just want to encourage you that, and just giving glory to God for his presence in this place, his presence in this place in you. So as we talk about this theme of coming home, for us that is an interesting one, because we've been away for so long, we come back to Melbourne and it's not the same. It feels like home, but it's not the same because we're not the same. And we start asking these questions about where is home. And we've been here for 9 weeks now. And we're still living out of a suitcase as we move and visit different people and spend time with different people, and it's this constant reminder of where is home, because it feels like home, but it's not quite home. It's a feeling of being displaced. It's a feeling of things not quite fitting, and it's all in line with what the Lord has been talking to us about, this idea of us being pilgrims, this call to be pilgrims, and this idea that we are kingdom citizens. This is not our home. In Christ alone, that is our home. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, you might notice some recurring themes with what Joe was talking about. It's God's doing something. So we are kingdom citizens. We are passing through this world as foreign travelers who do not belong. We have our eyes and all of our hopes placed on our eternal homeland. That is what we're called to. And it's no small calling. Peter talks about this this concept of pilgrims. The ESV has it as exiles. But this idea of the elect exiles, you are chosen by your heavenly Father, which is good news. And you are chosen as exiles. Different translations render it differently. Pilgrims, sojourners, foreigners, strangers, or as Jeff Rayner called us when he came to greet us, aliens. Thanks for that. I actually had that as part of the list and I deleted it. I'm like, that's a bit weird. But thank you. You said that. I'm like, well, hello. That's cool. Thank you.
Yes, so we'll just tell you a bit about what we're doing for a bit, and then we'll have a bit of a message. But it's all the same theme, as you will see. We are currently living in Nhulunbuy, which is, as you can see on the map, the top right bit of the knobbly bit of the Northern Territory. This is Arnhem Land. Nhulunbuy is to the very far right, as you can see. And can everyone see the map? Yep, okay. So we're in the very top right. Where we live is a mining town based in Indigenous land. So there's a bit of politics around the fact that this community even exists. But that's where we live because that's where the housing is. And you can see that dotted line that goes all the way down and then goes to Catherine. That dotted line is a dirt road, and to get to Catherine, it's a 10-hour drive. 12, depending on how cautious you want to be. Then from Catherine up to Darwin on a bitumen road is about a 4-hour drive. So we're quite remote, and most of the time we fly in and out. On this dark green patch, which is Arnhem Land, if you look at half of it to the right, that's East Arnhem Land, and that is the area that we've been doing most of our work so far. We travel out from Nhulunbuy to those big black dots, which are major communities, maybe 1,500 people, and scattered all through this area are so many homelands along the coast, along inland, of people groups, sometimes 30 people, sometimes 150 people, families living on their own land, which is quite an incredible thing to happen in Australia, and we're very pleased to support these people. We have a team. We have two families currently living on Milangimbi Island. Two families living in Gapawiak. Milangimbi Island, Gapawiak, and two families, which includes us in Nhulunbuy. And this is our team.
Cool. So this is our team. So we've got six families, which is a bit larger than Pioneers usually operates, but there's something building, there's something growing here, and there's a lot of there's some exciting things happening. I particularly want to tell you a short story about the Thaka Thakas, who are the Fijian couple, that's Aroni and Lavinia. They have arrived from Fiji as missionaries to Australia. And because of the way that Australia's visas work and things, they've got a limited window of about 4 years. Except, of course, the process of getting here, they're kind of down to about 3.5 years. So as they've come here, they've very much come with a sense of, you know, we are temporary citizens here. And they've been very intentional with their time. They are wasting no time. And it's been an absolute, I want to say inspiration, but maybe like lightning strike into the team as we've really kind of caught some urgency from them just wanting to be faithful. It's had a dramatic impact and it's really inspired us. They are, in fact, living as kingdom citizens. See, the thing, the message of the Bible about how we're to live, it's It's that this world, or your job, this world is not your final world. This job that you have, it's not your final job, which means that it can change how you endure, how you influence, and how you love in your workplace. This government, you might be pleased to hear, is not your final government, which means it's much easier to submit even when the government is acting unrighteously. This world is not your final world, which means when people tell you that's just the way things are, or this is as good as it gets, you can say, for now. This life is not your final life, which means you have real, tangible hope even in hopeless situations.
So Matthew 6, 19 to 24 says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." I just want to point out that it's not just our heart and our desires are trapped in a place, but where your treasure is, that's where you are. The core of you, your heart is. That's where you reside. That's where your time, your attention, your life is. So we choose wisely what our treasure is. And we know, of course, the greatest treasure is Christ.
And when we get this right, the Bible kind of describes this idea of joy, this joy that cannot be crushed. It's kind of this kingdom optimism. You know, we talk about optimism, just, you know, people who, personality-wise, that's the way they tend. It's not talking about this. It's not talking about the optimist who's really blind to reality, as all the pessimists know. Sorry, the realists. All the realists know, right? They're blind to reality. Their hope isn't based in truth, right? But it also acknowledges reality, but the pessimists don't have it right either. See, they don't understand the hope, the real reality of the hope that is on offer. The kingdom optimist, the biblical optimist, the optimism of the pilgrim says, this is as bad as it gets. Not this is as good as it gets. This is as bad as it gets. This is as close to hell as we are ever going to get. We treat temporary things as temporary and are mindful of the things that are permanent. This is the vision of our team. Joe told a story of a young woman who gave her life to Jesus, and there was a domino effect. She was a disciple maker immediately with the power of God on her. What we want to see for the Yongle people is that we want to see Yongle discipling disciple makers, to be disciple makers and to disciple people to disciple others, because once you do that, you have exponential growth. And this has been a challenge for the Yongle people passing on their faith. There are grandparents grieving for their children and their grandchildren and praying earnestly that they would know Jesus. So this concept is kind of really based, you might see, in our mission. We're learners of language and culture who join with local Christians to grow biblical maturity in the Yongle church. In kind of missionary theory, one of the ways of looking at when a church is mature is that it's self-governing, it's self-sustaining, and self-propagating. So far, we have not seen that in its fulfillment in a Yongle church yet. They've had the gospel for about 70 years. They've got churches, but they're still, you know, pushing for completion. They're pushing for maturity. Yeah.
Yes, so our focus, what we do, is relationship-based. We are meeting people where they are. We are listening and spending lots of time in relationship and responding to specific need, particularly around faith, discipleship, growth, maturity. We are challenging biblical application. which needs to be done in brothers and sisters in Christ. That's part of it. And regular encouragement and accountability. So as we visit these communities, we're visiting and we're committing to visiting regularly, praying together, encouraging, bringing the word, which is our source of encouragement, and sharing it together.
One of the ways that we do this is our team has invited the Yongor Christian leaders across East Arnhem Land to come and join in town, that's in Nhulunbuy, once every couple of months to just try and meet up. And basically our general kind of approach is to ask awkward questions. Like the Bible says that God has some ideas about speaking to the dead or speaking to spirits. As outsiders, it looks like maybe that might be something you might need to talk about. Where's the line for the church? And then sit back as the younger leaders discuss and problem solve. Because ultimately, they need to be coming to the Bible, listening to the Holy Spirit, and applying. That's not our job. We're not the experts on their culture. The response to these meetings has been really, really positive. After the first one, they actually mobilized, and within about a month or so, they actually organized a conference and then invited us to it. So we're putting the conference on, and we'll invite you, which was really good. So we went to Gareth Dalala. They shared with us, and we were able to share with them. There's a silhouette of me kind of doing a dramatic presentation of the gospel. Yes, I think the beard's the most recognizable bit. And then they shared worship with us. And it's not going to work. Okay, so that is a video of, you know... Oh, we don't have sound. Okay. Oh, cool. Oh, cool. Yeah, we've got to snip it. So just these amazing harmonies and this great passion for worshiping God, which is really, really cool. The other opportunity we've been doing is kind of doing multilingual Bible studies together, which is lots of fun. We'll kind of only pick like one or two verses, and then it gets read out in like five different languages, and that takes half an hour, and then, because some of the languages are very long, it takes a long time to say anything, and then we kind of discuss and have a back and forth on what that means, and it's been really positive time.
And as I said about going out, this is a picture of our family who adopted us in a community or a homeland called Bukaral. And we spend a lot of time going out there, encouraging them and spending time as family. And they're teaching us and we're learning a lot from them. So we have family in Melbourne and we have adopted family in Arnhem Land. We have also this amazing privilege of, since we've had Isla, of going to this playgroup. And this was Isla's first experience of Santa. So, which is just fantastic. And so she's in this playgroup, they're speaking language at a baby level, which is about my level, and Isla's level, and we're learning together. And Isla's bringing some of those words into her vocabulary as strongly as she uses English, which is such a blessing.
So, how can you help? How can you be involved? Your prayer would be really, really appreciated. Yeah, I mean, it's the power behind everything is God. We do have some prayer cards up on the desk over there. So they're old ones. We're getting new ones printed. You'll have new ones soon, but check over there. We are praying for full financial support because the work's been picking up. I have been working part-time. I've resigned from my job. So we're here, and Pioneers have said, you're here until we have, you know, all of our budget. So that's fun. So send us home. We've also been praying for a larger vehicle where, you know, if you know anyone who has a 4x4 light rigid vehicle that we could put accommodation on the back of, or if it's already there, that would be even better. And they just want to give it away. give them our number. That'd be really great. As far as access and things, that's really important for providing our own accommodation because there's a housing crisis there. So it just means that we can get out so much more freely. It gives us a sense of safety and various things and being able to actually get out to a hospital if we need to, protecting us from buffalo getting stomped on or whatever, that kind of thing. There's a whole bunch of reasons that it would accelerate things. Other ways that you can help us out is just if you can give your details so that we can connect. There's a sign-up sheet over there for our newsletter. Just put down your email and then you can keep in touch if you're not already on that. You can invite us to your small group. Is that all that's on that one? Okay, there is one more. And yes, you can invite us to dinner with interested friends if you'd like and introduce us to people. And one more. Yes. So if you're interested in hosting a gathering at your place or something that's more kind of centrally located for to invite the congregation to and hear more information and, you know, do a Q&A, we can get a bit more intimate or whatever. Nothing inappropriate. That'd be really good. So if you want to put your hand up now or you know, come chat to us afterwards, it'd be really good. Cool. Yes. The things to pray for, we said prayer. The really big ones are that the church knows the gospel. That's huge. There's a false gospels are a problem. You know, heresy is an issue when it's getting in the way of actually who God is. Is Jesus God? You know, some real fundamentals, Nicene Creed kind of stuff. You understand what that means. Basic Christianity, the basic gospel message. There are people up there that don't have that sorted and are trying to. There's a bit of confusion. If you could pray that the church would know the gospel that Paul says, you know, if me or an angel from heaven comes and tells you anything else than what we've said, they're to be accursed. Word meaning eternal damnation, right? Serious stuff. So if you could please pray for that, and also the people who are misinformed, or that they would see the light, really. That's covered. And that God raises up leaders for their church. They really need strong leadership. Would be really good. Cool.
Mm-hmm. Yes, so our kingdom citizenship, let's quickly look at this. 1 Peter 1:13. Therefore, prepare your minds for action and be sober-minded. Set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ.
This is me. Cool. So 2019's been... did you want to talk to them?
Yeah. Sorry. so this is the core verse that we have been focusing on for ourselves. And this idea of being sober-minded, drawing our attention to this concept that everything hinges upon our revelation of Jesus Christ, that grace through Jesus Christ. And so we are... that's what we're doing. We are endeavoring to set our hope fully on this grace, to focus on it, to give it our full attention and to let go of everything else. And I think that this is a call for the church in general. All of us have to go through this process of holding fast and letting go.
Yeah, that's it. 2019 has been a really tough year for us. There's been a lot of blessings, but there's been a whole lot of challenges. So this particular passage we're going to walk you through speaks a lot to us. And it opens with suffering. Oh, hello. This one. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are transient that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Paul here is talking about very serious suffering as light and momentary. It is seen in this light as we look, as we are seeing, it's in light of the glory. It's this right understanding that comes from focusing, looking, rightly seeing the world. He also says in Romans 4, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that's been revealed to us. This is not blind faith. This is not, you know, believing in something with no reason. There is solid reason. It is being thoroughly convinced based on good evidence, good trust in the character and nature of God that, you know, eternity's for you. And that changes right now. First Peter 5:8 refers to Satan, and it says that he is said to have power to devour like a lion, and that we should be self-controlled and alert, like a lion. But he is not one. We sang before that Jesus is the Lion of Judah. Revelation 5:5 says, "Do not weep. See, the Lion of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed." Satan might harm us. He might come against us. But he cannot touch the power in us. And he cannot touch your eternity. YVV, you are called to overcome by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of your testimony, and by not loving your lives so much as to shrink from death.
Second Corinthians 5, for we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling. There's that concept of home again. We can feel dissatisfied with life, but our focus can't be on the dissatisfaction. We need to be looking forward to what is to come. We need to have our eyes focused on what is to come. We long for it with complete assurance that God is going to give it to us. It's going to be complete, perfect, our permanent home. This is where the present joy lies. If we are willing to take hold of it now, this is where our present joy is going to come from, if we're willing to hold on to it right now. It goes on. If indeed by putting it on we may not be found naked, for while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. We look for that day when the mortal is swallowed up by life. Life in its fullness and glory, life eternal, life permanent.
So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Here, faith, just trusting in God, is put in comparison to our own senses, to our own understanding of the world. Here, it is put in contrast. So when we talk about hope and joy and we're in the midst of suffering, it's so easy to hear that and just go, you just don't understand. You don't understand what I'm going through. But God says, no, you don't understand. It's not about what you are going through. It's about what I went through to purchase the eternity that you can be living right now. The joy that you can be living right now.
Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. at home with the Lord. At home with the Lord, at home. This place that is easy, that's free, that's relaxed. I think of home, I think of Friday night, being by myself or being by at home with my feet up, eating my favorite food or whatever I can find, and being with my family and the people that I love, just relaxed and at home. That is what our hearts and our minds and our whole being and all the decisions that we make is set upon, that we get to be at home with the Lord. Then it goes on. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. And I want to draw your attention to that part. We make it our aim to please him. This is not about following rules. This is about a relationship. The focus of what we're doing is to please him. 1 Peter 2:11 and 12 says, "Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation." The things that please God, these good deeds, these things that we are called to in our lives, in ministry, in life, in work, in home, in all of these places, it's to please the Lord, to bring him glory so that others might bring him glory as well. Matthew 5:16 says, "Let your light shine before men in such a way that they see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." The sole purpose of everything that we do is to bring him glory. Our home is set. We have this set limit of time in our lives before we get to go home. And it's all about what we can do to please him. So let's figure out how. How do we please him? And I know he wants to reveal it to us.
So that's a very green house. If you're part of our newsletter, you'll know that last year we got to buy a house. Now, when we were working full-time up in Nhulunbuy, God said, "Start putting money aside." We knew that it had a purpose. We didn't know what it was for, so we started putting some money aside. And then we had this money. And, you know, having money in your account's wonderful. It gives you a sense of security. It's very easy to set your heart on it. Then we heard about this house. We weren't thinking about buying a house. We had no intention of it. We were just serving where we were at. We heard about this house. And then God said, "This is it." The auction was in 2 weeks, and we had maybe two-thirds of what it was going to go for. It was going to go real cheap, but we didn't have enough money. So we're like, well, you can do maths, God. Miraculous provision. Over 30% of the money that we needed to purchase the house arrived in our bank account within a week. Okay, thank you, God. We went up to Nhulunbuy not knowing how long we were going to be there. God said that to go, and we went, and we had no idea. We're starting to get an idea that we're going to be there for a while. I think. It's a small house. It's 6 meters by 9 meters. We have 2 children. It's going to be interesting. And we'd love to go back to it, which is why we're really wanting to raise that support as soon as we can. But this isn't our home. It kind of feels like home at times. This feels like home a lot of every time. Yeah. But it's not. There's more.
Ask her about that later. Okay. So we thought it would just be really awesome to take this time to pray together. And so if there's anything that has stood out from what we've been saying or anything that you feel like you would like prayer for, we'll ask you to stand and we'll ask the elders and the ministry team to come around you to pray, and everyone can jump in and pray. But this is probably more specifically what I would really love to pray for. I want to pray that we can all set our hope and our eyes fully on Jesus. I want to pray that we experience now that good courage and that joy. And I want to pray that we know what pleases God to glorify Him. So if anyone doesn't specifically feel like prayer, would you mind just breaking up into some small groups, maybe in your row, grab two or three people and pray? If someone wants specific prayer, please be aware of that and meet that need. But that's our story that we're sharing today, and we would love to talk to you more about it. But firstly, let me just open in prayer. Father God, we thank you so much that you are a good God, that you are calling us home, and that home is a place that is safe and secure, and it is a place that is warm and comfortable, and it's a place that we can set our hope fully on you, fully on your presence, and let go of the things that happen in life, the things that are uncomfortable, the things that that we suffer. We give these things to you, Lord. We give them to you that you might deal with them. Deal with them in our hearts. Deal with them in our minds. And let's set us free. Let us focus our eyes on you, Jesus. We want to know what pleases you. We want to do it, whatever that might be, whatever you have called us to do, whatever you have called, wherever you have called us to be. We want to please you and serve you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Just before we go into the next phase of ministry, I just want to say that what you've brought today is actually a prophetic message that is bigger than what your words are, and we just receive it as a prophetic message for leading us into this new year. That home has been something that we've been really queuing into, and today the Lord's just saying, focus on that. Pay attention to this message as well. And so I want to just thank you for listening to the Lord. When we met this week and prayed together, there was just a real sense that these guys had captured the heart of the Lord for us. And so as they invite us to move into prayer, I want you to go with the expectation of this piercingly convicted couple. Could you feel it? They were piercing our hearts with the scripture and with the message of the Lord, that they're now inviting us to pray into it and respond to it. And so I want us to respond with that same conviction that this is a message from the Lord for this year for us. And I want us to take that to our prayers. This is not a passive thing where, oh, we're finishing up Sunday. This is actually something the Lord's calling us into. So even if you're visiting here today, we invite you to jump in on this, because the Lord's bringing a message for us for this region. So we thank you again for that. As you lead us into ministry and what the Lord's doing, just go with boldness.
Yeah, so maybe if you need to rush off and get the kids, that's totally fine. But could you just maybe in your row start chatting with the person next to you and pick one of these points and pray? Thank you.